What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the You Know Ball Podcast. I am your host, Troll Bro Dude, and today I am excited to talk about our new partner, once again, Underdog Fantasy, the best and newest place to play fantasy sports and win big prizes. Now, obviously, this James Harden injury really sucks. It sucks for you. It sucks for me. It sucks for Sixers fans everywhere. But the one thing that I'm looking forward to, the silver lining of this all, is the expansion of my favorite player, Tyrese Maxey's role. I think he's going to get more on-ball opportunities, and that's going to lead to more points, more assists. So I can go to Underdog Fantasy Pick'em and choose higher on Maxey's points, on his assists, on any given night. And if those hit, I can win back my money. You can win up to 20 times your money. And right now they are offering a $100 deposit match bonus for You Know Ball listeners using the promo code SLOP or the link in the description. So please go sign up today if you have not already. It will support me and the podcast, and I would really, really appreciate it. And if Pick'em isn't your thing, Underdog is the only place that offers nightly draft contests as well. It's a classic six-player snake draft, and you can win up to $10,000 on any given night. And I just want to say, we're going to be doing our first You Know Ball listener-only draft. You can do private drafts on Underdog Fantasy as well. So we're going to be doing it during Sixers-Hawks next week. We're going to be drafting Thursday during the day and then following it along on the stream at night. So if you want to compete against me, you want to compete against Parm, and you want to try to potentially win some money, please sign up for Underdog Fantasy today. Get your deposit match and have fun with us next week. Thanks. What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the You Know Ball Podcast. And today is once again a very somber day here at the You Know Ball Podcast. Unfortunately, our big boy, Mr. James Harden, has suffered an injury. So before we get into our player haters ball, the overrated NBA draft that we will be doing later in the episode, we have to talk about Harden getting injured, what it means for the Sixers, and where do they go from here. So we have Parm here. Parm, what's going on? How you feeling, bud?
I'm feeling delightful. This is not a real injury. It's fake.
Oh, it's a fake.
It's manufactured by mainstream Daryl Morey media. It's a strain. It's not real.
Oh, strain. Get
Harden. We're going to tank for, like, you know, the prescribed 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. Doc Rivers, see ya. He can coach the Pacers. Get the fuck out of here. Shake Milton going to score like 24 points a game for like 5 games in a row. People are going to be like, wow, is Shake Milton a real guy?
He's back.
Everyone knows he's not, but other people will buy in. And then you attach him to Tobias's $40 million deal.
Yeah.
And that's how we get LeBron James.
Let's go. All right. I love it. All right. I'm in. I'm back in, actually. Yeah, you've said that.
He's borrowing injury faking technology from the Oklahoma City Thunder, given that they're all kind of in the same executive tree.
We are like less than 2 minutes into the actual podcast, and Sam has already slipped in some Sam Presti Presti slander at the top. But
he will be in Gitmo before the end of the year. Mark my words. We are closing Guantanamo Bay except for Sam Presti. It will be a Magneto jail for people who take Shai Gilgeous-Alexander from us, like a bubble. Can't do anything in there. What are you going to do? Tank your picks in there? Loser? Nerd? Get a real haircut. Dork? Freak? God.
Oh, good way to start. But
I want to draft Sam Presti, by the way.
Yeah, both over. Okay, yeah, yeah, no, okay. I'll allow it. I'll allow him. He can be your assistant GM for the overrated player draft. How about that? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sounds good.
We'll get him on the line. But back to the Harden stuff, because Parm, you did bring up a good point in your very serious rant there for a little bit.
Thank you.
Which is that Doc Rivers, I am wondering, because a lot of people are talking about this on Twitter now. Some people are saying Doc Rivers is more protected because of this, because he has a built-in excuse if the team does poorly. And I kind of feel the opposite. I kind of agree with what you were saying. And it's not... Part of it is because I want it to happen. And then another part of it is because I still think that unless Joel Embiid is also actually sick, or the foot injury is a real thing, and they don't have either of these guys, the team still won like a good amount of games last year with a similar core. Joel Embiid, Tyrese Maxey, you know, Seth Curry put in DeAnthony Melton, who Look, mm-hmm. Seth Curry's obviously a better offensive player, but I think from a two-way perspective, Melton's the more impactful, better player. Tobias, maybe he can get back to a little bit of, you know, being more of an on-ball guy, which has not always had the best results. But I think that right now they still need to stay above water. I think they need to stay in that 500 range while Harden's out. And it's going to be tough. Like, their upcoming schedule is really hard. Like, this is mm-hmm. not a good time. Like, Tim Bontemps tweeted and said they have the Knicks, which, I mean, whatever. Like, they should still beat the Knicks even without Harden if mm-hmm. Embiid plays. But who knows if Embiid's playing. That's tomorrow. They have the Suns. They have mm-hmm. the Hawks twice. He included the Jazz, but I'm not good. I don't think that's real. The Jazz, the Bucks, the Wolves, the Nets. And then they have an Atlanta, Cleveland, Memphis stretch at the end of this month. So in this next month, the Sixers need to stay above water. They need to kind of stay in that play-in range while Harden is out. And if they don't, I still think that Doc, like, if they go, if they're like 6-10 in 2 weeks, I think that, or however many games it takes, I think Doc is gone. Like, I don't see a world in which they're hanging on to Doc and he can't do the things that Doc has always done, which is keep the team afloat when the start, like I've joked before, like Doc does a better coaching job with lesser talent. Mm-hmm. It feels like if mm-hmm. he can't do that, then I would be really surprised. Like I think that they still need to win games.
Absolutely.
I would say this though. I would say that what I would expect to happen, even though Embiid has looked, as we covered last time, very bad. This is more of a natural role for Joel Embiid, you know, covering up a shorthanded team without a clear, surefire talent. And Tyrese Maxey, as now without Harden, will get to be Tyrese Maxey. So I think this is a little bit to the team's detriment, but I do not think it will show up in wins and losses very much. I think that they're still going to win a lot of games. And I just think it's going to kind of hurt them overall as they try to build their way towards a more cohesive unit that will win in the playoffs. Because I think they need those reps with a good coach, which I guess you can't. It kind of defeats the purpose.
The end goal here.
Right. I mean, if this is a vehicle to firing Doc, great. But I think I just don't think they're going to get the requisite political cover to fire Doc, because I don't think this is going to change the Sixers' fortunes that much, to be honest. I think a lot of what you've been frustrated, and I agree with Trill, is that Maxey just only gets like 10 minutes a game to be himself.
Sure.
Now that's his full playing time. Now it's 36. You know, it's going to be a slight step back. I don't think it's going to be that noticeable. I don't think it's going to turn into wins and losses. I would bet rather than being 6-10, they're probably, you know, more like, how many games is it? 16? Probably more like, I don't know, 10-6, you know, in that amount of time.
Well, right now they're four and five overall, which mm-hmm. already is like trending in. And look, Embiid has missed three games. They went 2-1 in those games. He didn't look like himself before that. I still do agree that I think that in the wins and losses category, it might not affect it as much. I think that there are some silver linings here for sure. I think the main silver lining is Melton will get a lot more adjusted to playing with the starters. He will start in James Harden's position, I would imagine. Yeah. And as Celtics Matt brought up in the group DM, the one thing is that this will allow the Sixers to play defensively, probably more like Thibault will get more minutes now. Melton will get more minutes now. And those are the kind of guys that in a drop coverage scheme tend to work a little bit better with Joel Embiid defensively. You know, Harden, as good as he fits offensively with Embiid with the pick and roll, defensively, they're still not all that compatible. And especially when Tyrese Maxey and Tobias Harris are flanking you, you're going to have a lot of issues for sure. I think that this will improve, which is funny, actually, weirdly enough, to start the season, the team is better defensively when Harden is on the court. Now, some of that is just way too few games to really take much from mm-hmm. shooting stuff. But the offense has actually been, they have like over a 120 offensive rating when James Harden is not on the court this season, which I think could be beneficial because they're going to figure out how to play without James Harden. And in the playoffs, they're going to need at least probably 10 minutes a game to figure out what lineups work the best when Harden sits, how they can survive the non-Harden minutes. So you can look at it positively like that for sure. But at the same time, you know, he wasn't the Harden from the first three games that looked absolutely incredible, but he's still a steady hand. He's your main offensive guy. And now it's going to have to shift back to that Embiid thing. And like, if Embiid isn't in shape, like this could go off the rails pretty quickly is my whole point.
Yes. But I also think that another part of this is that losing James Harden just makes the team more conventional, I think, is the bottom line here.
Yeah, like, definitely.
Like, you don't need to get creative. You don't need to do anything. And I think that's to Doc Rivers' benefit. I think that the way he builds rotations and the way he puts guys in the rotation is pretty conventional, for better or worse. That's Doc Rivers, you know, and that's why he's had so many talented guys and got fired from so many talented doctors, because he cannot – he's not the imaginative Eric Spoelstra style play inventor, you know, that he is. So I think that
he's a normie. Doc is a normie.
He is. He's a normie coach. And but just think about how much better that, how much more sense and less like heliocentric and weird subbing in James, like D'Anthony Melton for James Harden, makes that Sixers starting lineup.
Yeah.
Everything makes so much more sense. And everything is going to make so much more sense on the back line too. So I just think that this is going – honestly, the Sixers might even look better, and we might have another – just Joel. We might just have another cycle of are the Sixers better without James Harden? And it's like, well, maybe technically in the regular season. But again, we talk about this all the time. There's a huge difference between winning in the regular season, fake, not real, bullshit – dog shit, doesn't matter, and winning in the playoffs. And like,
and James Harden is a playoff superstar. So,
all right, well, I did kind of dog walk myself into that one.
But I think what you're saying is that there's some truth to that. Like, look, even when Harden was struggling last year, what he was doing for the offense at certain points was something the Sixers have never had before. The end of the Miami Heat game, when he basically saved it at home, hitting all those step back threes, getting guys in the right positions, like the Sixers, regardless of you know, him looking like shit in the last two games, have really never had that type of player before. And I think they need that type of player that will just be like a steady hand late in playoff games, regardless of whether Harden is shooting 2 for 11 from the field or whatever it is. But kind of going back to what we were talking about before, like, I do think that the Melton thing, I think it's going to be good for the team in the long term. In the short term, I think it might end up hurting them a little bit more in the wins and losses column. Look, you know me, I've always loved Shake Milton. He's just looked fucking awful to start the year. He was not good at the end of last year. Honestly, he really hasn't been good for like two seasons consistently.
It's Shake Milton. He's either the worst, most atrocious player you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah.
Or he's giving you 35 points.
Yep. I know. I'm aware of that.
That's just a total random like coin flip of what guy you're getting.
Yeah. And the thing is that regardless of whatever version you get of him, it's very similar to the Montrezl Harrell situation where Doc loves Shake.
Oh, yeah.
And because he scored 38 points on him one time a few years ago, he is, and also in Shake's defense, he bailed Doc out in the Hawks series in game two. He bailed Doc out in the playoffs at certain points last year, coming in and being kind of a lightning bolt off the bench. I understand that. But at the same time, we know when Doc loves his guys and two of his guys are now in the rotation, Montrezl looked fucking awful yesterday. Like, I've actually kind of come around to the idea of, based on your matchup, you can play Paul Reed or Montrez. Montrez looks awful. Paul Reed comes in yesterday. The Sixers go on a 9-0 run. And he gets pulled from the game a few minutes later when they have like a little bit of a slump. He was a +4 in like a few minutes he played yesterday. And he looked pretty good to start. He had some errors like he always does. And the team ends up losing the game, and Montrez was terrible yesterday. And like, my fear isn't that Shake isn't going to be consistent, because I know he's not going to be consistent. My fear is that the coach is going to play him no matter how badly he plays, just like he does with Montrez. And the only thing is, what is your other option here? Like Furkan Korkmaz, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't even have an Isaiah Joe to throw in there for some shooting or whatever. It's basically either Furkan or Shake with those backup bench minutes. And like, I'd almost rather roll the dice on the fact that maybe Furkan can get back to where he was a year or two ago and just hope that he can provide a little bit more of a spark, because like, the inconsistencies and the amount of minutes that Shake's going to play through his struggles really concerns me. And like, I hope he can bounce back, because I love Shake, but it's just going to be tough over these next few weeks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Sam, if you want to bring up your trade machine war crime, you can bring it up so I can yell at you for it.
I just, you know, something in one of my Celtics sicko chats that was brought up, and you said that this was also carried over and posted to the Discord. Might would make a lot of sense for the Celtics and the Sixers to explore a Peyton Pritchard for Paul Reed swap.
I'm going to throw up.
You guys need a hooper. This man has been hooping at a high level. He has done it in the playoffs. What has Paul Reed done in the playoffs? Nothing. We're practically...
Hey, he was good in the Raptor series.
The fact that I'm even deigning to put Peyton Pritchard on the table is just a show of my how magnanimous I'm being.
Well, my question for you is, how are you going to replace Peyton Pritchard's 5.7 minutes a game in the three games he's played so far this year?
We'll have to find a way.
Is Sam Hauser still on the team?
Yeah, no, Sam Hauser's been great. He's been he plays like very weird rotations. Like, Mazzulla will only play him for like these weird like 2 minute stretches, like in the middle of like the quarters. But he's been like lights out, like really high gravity, like white guy shooter, and has survived on defense.
So that's why you guys don't need Peyton Pritchard anymore. You have your new white guy shooter.
As essentially, he's
taller.
And he's taller. Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
no. So. I would not do that trade. Although at this point I'm okay with trading Paul Reed, because it's very obvious that Doc will never play him anyway. So it's like, to me, it's like, you might as well get something back. Like, I would probably be trying to see if there's a team out there that would be willing to give you a wing that you could play off of the bench, even if it's like a
Peyton Pritchard.
Is that Kelly Oubre's music?
I knew you were going to say someone that I hated.
That's Tsunami Poppy?
No, not Kelly Oubre. Not one of the few players I don't want.
Although, trade Tobias Harris for Kelly Oubre straight up today. I would press that button right now. No question.
Man, here's the thing. From
the cap relief.
Yeah, I would do it for the cap relief. I would just do it to get off the Tobias contract. Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree. From a player-for-player standpoint, Oubre's kind of like wing Shake Milton, in that he can have games where he's the best player on the court, and he can have games where he's the worst player on the court. But I think just and even though I hate Kelly Oubre and I despise watching him play basketball, I think that just having an athletic wing that can play off of the bench... Mm-hmm. And if you could lean into starting D'Anthony Melton at the three, like, I literally think D'Anthony Melton should be a three. He's an undersized three for sure, but like, in certain matchups, you're gonna have that be exploited. But like, I actually think Melton is like the fourth best player on the team, and I think that he should be playing starters minutes. 100%. And if that allows you to do that, and Kelly Oubre is your athletic wing off the bench, I would do it. I don't think Kelly Oubre is good. And I'll probably select him at some point in our overrated player draft. But that's really just because he's hot that he's overrated. But
it's just that, like, I can't keep watching this guy give like the least valuable 18 points.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I've ever seen in my life. It's like it's turbo Julius Randle.
Yeah,
it's like out of this world.
Yeah,
it's saying something that the Warriors, who are currently playing James Wiseman so many minutes that it's like literally ruining their season, and they saw Kelly Oubre and were like, no.
Okay, I think he's talking about Tobias Harris.
Yeah, I'm talking about Tobias.
Oh,
it's a standstill. Yeah. No, Kelly Oubre is also going to do the same.
But he's going to be hot when he does it.
He can just, at least he moves.
You know why that trade would never happen?
Addicted to the half court.
You know why that trade would never happen? Because, well, one, it I would be a little bit worried about trading for a guy who, when you already have Montrezl Harrell from the Charlotte Hornets, I don't think we should be trying to acquire any more guys that were on that Charlotte Hornets team. Seems like every guy from that team has something going on. Like, maybe I should we should just stay away from that. Yeah.
Terry Rozier innocent.
Yeah, free Terry.
But don't ask why he, whenever he is on Snapchat, he refuses to use C's. It's only K's. It's interesting.
It's just a thing. It's a weird thing.
Don't look into that.
Don't look into the background there.
Yeah.
It's funny because Harrison Grimm posted today, and he posted that Tobias has been one of the best catch and shoot players in the league this year. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I literally could have, I watch every single game, every single minute of every single game, and I was floored to learn that. Like, I forget that Tobias is on the team sometimes because his role is to reduce to being Jay Crowder, it's like he's invisible. Like, it's really like I've always thought that, like, other than the season where I legitimately think Tobias should have made the All-Star team over Ben, which was when they were the one seed in 21. I think that Tobias has always been a slightly impactful player, like maybe a barely positive impactful player. And now it's just like he's a net neutral, if not a net negative. Mm-hmm. And I literally think if you traded Tobias, maybe when Harden's out or Embiid's out, that's not the case. But when those two are playing, you could replace him with no one and the team would be the same, if not better. Like, it has gotten to that point, which really sucks because it's like, it sucks because he's eating $40 million worth of cap space.
Yeah.
But I tend to agree with that. Two last things on the James Harden stuff. I keep seeing people say this, and I understand this, that people are saying Harden should have been playing so many minutes. He should have been load managed. He's played every game. He's played like 37 minutes a game. And I get that. I understand that. I definitely do. I can't get mad at Doc Rivers and the team when we all know James Harden's not going to listen to them. Like,
no, he's going to show up.
Harden plays there. If Harden is playing, look at his career numbers. He plays 37 minutes a game. Mm-hmm. And I agree that it is the team's job to protect the players. And I agree that the coaches in the front office should be stepping in some circumstances to make sure when he's coming off a soft tissue injury, like the hamstring, to kind of get back into it or whatever. But at the same time, this is a guy who has, when he's unhappy, blown up the last two teams he was on. Mm-hmm. I don't really think you want to be pushing things. Like, Joel Embiid has talked about how he wants to play through injuries. There, like, guys are just like, most guys aren't Kawhi and LeBron and guys that like are thinking about like the longevity of their careers and thinking like, they're like, I'm healthy enough, I want to play. Like, it's a hard situation to get into. And I really can't even be mad at anyone. Like, it just kind of is what it is, even if I think that Harden should be playing less minutes.
Yeah, and he's been Iron Man, the entirety of his career until two years ago?
Exactly. Yeah.
So
I'm just like, what do you really do with that?
It's not like James Harden's the pinnacle of a guy who is known to be very good to his body.
Yeah, exactly.
He shows up on a half an hour sleep. Just like hammered, and then gives you 45.
Yeah, he's Ubering from the strip club, whereas LeBron is like sleeping in a cryogenic chamber.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And he's
sleeping in the tank that Vegeta's in Dragon Ball Z. Like, he's invented that technology
in real life.
In real life.
All right. So before we officially move on from all of the Harden stuff, which, my prediction is I think the team struggles without him. I think they figure out their way. I think they probably end up going like around 500, maybe a little bit less in this stretch. I still think that they need to be like actually good for Doc to keep his job. But I don't know. Maybe the front office and the ownership is just like, we're not paying him that contract.
we're already paying the luxury tax. Like, you just got to figure it out. So we'll see.
What's the Sixers? What's the Sixers record right now?
They're 4-5.
4-5. Okay. And a month from now is December 2nd. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 13, 14, 15 games between now and then. I bet the Sixers go 10-5. I bet they win a lot of games and are actually better. And that we get a James Harden. We get the inverted Joel Embiid.
We get Bill.
Get the Bill as James Harden Ewing theory. Also.
Oh well, he'll make it about Joel Embiid wanting his own team again. Is what he'll make it about. Oh, now he doesn't have to watch Harden over dribble and do all this. So he wants his own team. He's going to get traded to another team. He's going to make them trade Harden. Someone brought up to me, actually DM'd me on Twitter. Shout out to Molly Hot Takes from Twitter. She DM'd me and was like, do you know? Okay, so last year, after one of the games in the Heat series, Joel was interviewed in a press conference and they were talking about awards. And he was basically saying that he thinks certain media members have like a vendetta against him, which I don't think they do. But I also think, like, don't complain about awards. It's a bad look. Like, who cares? Mm-hmm. But I also think that what he said in that press conference was, why does Bill Simmons get to vote on things when he's saying fuck Jalen Green on his own podcast?
Mm-hmm.
And ever since then, Bill's tone has shifted a little bit when he talks about Embiid. And I do think that there's at least a little bit of a dynamic there. So shout out to Molly, who's making us stay woke.
Yeah, absolutely, by the way. Bill is like one of the most petty media members.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like absolutely. There is a 0% chance that he did not change how he felt about Embiid hearing that.
100%. Like, yeah.
Yeah. There's no way. Anyway, I believe the Sixers will be 14-10.
I'm going to go 7-8 in those 15 games. I think that they're going to be like two games below 500 by the end of this run. And I think they'll be in that play-in range. And I think by the time Harden gets back, then they'll end up like going on a winning streak or something.
I believe Lauri Markkanen is going to score 57 points on the corpse of Joel Embiid. And then Mark Cuban is going to get fined for tampering by trying to
trade. The Flying Finns League, baby. We're all just living in it.
That's right. Yeah, Danny Ainge has unearthed the gem once again. A white one in Utah, in the mountains of Utah. But one more thing I'll throw in here, and Sam has some expertise on this as well as a Celtics fan.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see my gross post that was Mike Chiodo's?
I almost drove my car, and you don't want that. You remember the tweet about you don't
before
want to be out here with like Sonia and Del Curry, like when they were getting divorced, and there was that whole thread about you don't want to be out here, like don't get to. You don't want the Kemba Walker experience,
yeah.
Especially after Nick Nurse destroyed him in the All Star game by playing him 30 minutes. It's Nick Nurse's fault, by the way. I'm going down with that ship, Nick Nurse. Owes Kemba Walker an apology for ruining his career.
Yeah, he's a terrorist. We agree.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Agreed. Yeah.
Biological terrorist, Nick. I've called him a basketball fascist before, and it's not a bad anymore.
No.
Nick Nurse is the worst.
He's a monster.
But yeah. I also have no. I don't want them to sign Kemba. That was a joke from me. I'm just like, I'm like, his knee is probably cooked. I said a year ago he was cooked, and then he dropped like 30 points on the Sixers. It was actually really funny. But then for the rest of the season, like, his defense is just not where, like, he's unplayable defensively. And you want to give Doc Kemba Walker and Montrezl Harrell on the roster come playoff time? Come on. You thought it was bad before. Watch him play Niang, Montrez, Kemba, like, no.
You guys should just sign, just go sign someone like David Nwaba or something. Like, I think he's a free agent. Like, why not? I've always liked him. Like,
sure.
Good, you know, serviceable. That's just,
I would rather sign Ben McLemore than sign Kemba. Just because it's like, at least you can have a guy who can shoot and like try to play defense. Like, there's more of upside there. Like, the Sixers aren't the team that signs Wash guy, and then they're not Wash for like half a season. Like, they don't get Nicholas Batum. They don't get even like Blake Griffin, like 10 capable games in his Nets career. Like, they don't get anyone who is in that realm of player ever. So I'm good on doing that. That's just just my personal opinion on that.
Hey there, if you enjoyed this, please subscribe to the You Know Ball Patreon for the entire episode. This episode was over 2 hours long. Not only did we just talk about what we talked about here with the James Harden injury, but we also did the overrated NBA player draft, where we drafted the 30 most overrated players in the NBA currently. We had teams of 10. It was a very fun episode. The episode itself went for over 2 hours, so that part is an hour and a half. So if you want that whole thing, please subscribe to the You Know Ball Patreon using the link in the description. We have a lot of other things going on over there as well. So thank you for your support. Please like this video. Please subscribe if you have not already. Turn on your notifications. Thanks.